With the Radio On The Go News, I'm Brian Fancher reporting. Late yesterday afternoon, the Grundy County Sheriff's Office made a traffic stop in the city of Grundy Center and arrested 39-year-old Ricky Sigler of Grundy Center and charged him with a third offense OWI and for a third offense possession of a controlled substance methamphetamine charge. Sigler was booked into the Grundy County Jail and suffered a medical issue. Sigler was transported by the Grundy Center ambulance to the Grundy County Memorial Hospital. While at the hospital, Sigler became unresponsive and the medical staff performed life-saving procedures, but Sigler later died. Sigler was transported to the state medical examiner's office in Ankeny for an autopsy. As a standard procedure, the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation is investigating the incident. Yesterday, about 6 a.m., the Hardin County Sheriff's Office was called out on the report of a single vehicle rollover accident with the airbag deployed in the 21,000 block of 270th Street just northeast of Hubbard. The vehicle was driven by 47-year-old Catherine Finn from Hubbard. Finn was transported by the Hubbard ambulance to Hanson Family Hospital in Iowa Falls for treatment of unknown injuries. Yesterday morning, the Hardin County Sheriff's Office arrested 49-year-old Tara Ray of Eldora on a Hardin County warrant for violation of her pretrial release from the original charge of operating a vehicle without the owner's consent. Last night, the Hardin County Sheriff's Office arrested 17-year-old Damian Holt for failing to appear for a felony charge. Both Ray and Holt are being held at the Hardin County Jail. A North Central Iowa man who pleaded guilty to stealing heirlooms from the family of fallen rock star Richie Valens during the winter dance party in Clear Lake was sentenced to 1 month in jail. The Valens family had reported two framed family photos of Richie Valens and a framed movie poster were stolen from the Best Western Motor Lodge during a family luncheon on February 2nd. The items were recovered 12 days later in good condition. 59-year-old Mark Hobbs was later arrested and charged with second-degree theft and conspiracy to commit a non-forcible felony, with authorities saying that he had been seen on surveillance video taking the photos. As part of a plea agreement, Hobbs pleaded guilty to a charge of third-degree theft, with a conspiracy charge being dismissed. Hobbs was sentenced this week to 30 days in jail and issued a $625 fine, which was suspended. Hobbs late last month was also charged after authorities allegedly found more than a pound of methamphetamine in a Mason City storage unit. His trial on that charge is scheduled for November the 5th. Iowa Congressman Steve King says that Taiwan has signed letters of intent to purchase $3.6 billion worth of American corn, soybeans, wheat, and beef over the next 2 years. The letters of intent were signed at a ceremony King participated in yesterday afternoon during the 2019 Taiwan Agricultural Trade Goodwill Mission to Washington, D.C. The letters of intent include Taiwan purchasing about 370 million bushels of grain, around 97 million bushels of soybeans, and just over 66 million bushels of wheat. Yesterday, the Hardin County Board of Supervisors tabled making a recommendation to the Iowa Department of Natural Resources concerning an animal feeding operation construction permit application for the Corner Pork Site in Section 27 of Alden Township. In other business, the Hardin supervisors approved to request a quote from the Iowa Governmental Health Care Plan and canceled the October 2nd board business meeting. This week, the Clarion City Council discussed the vacancy of the city administrator position. City Councilmember Dave Maxheimer will continue to take the lead on getting the job description put together and to find an interim administrator. In other business, the Clarion City Council set a public hearing for October 15th at 4:30 p.m. concerning the proposed plan, specs, form of contract, and estimate of the cost for the construction of Sections 2 and 3 of the city's water supply enhancement project. CICS has a drop-in center in Hampton along Highway 65 South that is designed to help those diagnosed with a mental illness. CICS Hampton coordinator Morgan Bell tells Radio On The Go News what the drop-in center is used for.
Drop-in means you can come for 10 minutes, you can come for 4 hours, you can come anytime, and that's all anonymous. You just come in and you get to spend time there however you want. We have a lot of different rooms, so if you want to be there but you don't want to be around other people, you have that ability. And if you want to do puzzles or crafts or you want to be with people, we pretty much always have people there, so we have a lot of different opportunities for whatever it is that you need at that time.
Bell says an event called Let's Talk will take place at the Drop-In Center on October the 1st.
Tiffany Larson is a specialist that works with teens and children of all ages on a lot of different topics. And we have her coming in, and she's going to talk to parents and caregivers, grandparents, teachers, anybody that works with kids or spends time with kids. And her whole program is about teaching those adults to be askable, approachable. She gives tips on how to talk about those tough topics, whatever they may be. And there is a question and answer portion, so you can specifically bring up maybe a tough topic that you're struggling with at that time.
For more information, call 641-456-2128. Again, 456-2128. This week, the Iowa Valley Community College District Board of Directors held a special meeting and approved the chancellor's recommendation to terminate an employee. Haytham Abdel Majid had been on the physics faculty for both Ellsworth Community College in Iowa Falls and at Marshalltown Community College. He was terminated because he was absent from duty without approved leave. A group of 216 climate educators from 38 colleges and universities in Iowa have issued a statement warning extreme temperatures are ahead. Bill Katowski is an atmospheric science professor at Iowa State University.
Conditions will become very dangerous at times, much more so than we are experiencing at the present time.
The group's analysis indicates the number of days when temperatures exceed 90 degrees will at least double within the next two decades.
Depending again on how we work towards reducing our increase in greenhouse gases. So it's not hopeless, and I want people to understand that it's not hopeless. There are things we can do, and there are adaptations that we can do as well.
Yet the group of Iowa scientists warns flooding is more likely with a warmer and more humid atmosphere. Plus, Iowans may have to adjust when they spend time outdoors to avoid heat-related illnesses. Peter Levi is an environmental science professor at Drake University.
The Iowans most at risk for becoming ill, whether having heat exhaustion, heat cramps, heat stroke, or suffering death, include our friends and neighbors who work outside on a regular basis, older adults above age 65, infants and children, those individuals with chronic medical conditions, low-income households, and our athletes.
The 2019 Iowa Climate Statement concludes dangerous heat events will be more frequent and more severe. The group of Iowa scientists acknowledge climate change has become a controversial issue in the political atmosphere, and they have not been able to convince everyone of the severity of future weather disruptions. The group is emphasizing that Iowans can take action on a local level by doing things like installing solar panels and encouraging utility companies to diversify with wind and solar projects. Today's guest on the Radio On The Go Newsmaker program is the president of Butler County Visions of Well-Being, Shauna Liebeck, who will be discussing their upcoming Kid Fest, which is set for Saturday. The Radio On The Go Newsmaker program airs weekdays over the noon hour on KLMJ following the news, weather, and obituaries with archive programs at RadioOnTheGo.com. For Radio On The Go News, Brian Fancher reporting.